This recording, England 37, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel very sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a different tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bath the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on the right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Well, I was born in Little Torrington, and I came into Great Torrington to live in a cottage below the cattle market. I was about 5 when I came in here. Went to school, hated it. And then when I was 11, I went to a bigger school where I was like, what's it called, over Castford Road? Atmore Road, the new school, it was open then, where I passed an exam to go to Biddeford Grammar School. I couldn't go because my father was just an agricultural worker and couldn't afford the uniform and the books, which you had to buy in those days. But still, never mind. I had a fairly good childhood, and you know, my father had a small holding and kept chickens and pigs and whatnot. And then I lived at School Lane until I married, and had 3 children. They married, and it did pay dividends because my husband was quite well educated. And my daughter passed to go to grammar school, and my younger son passed to go to Biddeford Grammar School. And then John hasn't got any children, unfortunately, but he does love children. He's a teacher now. He's deputy headmaster in Brighton. But my other grandson, oldest grandson, went to Cambridge until he was 25. So I think that what my husband and I had came out in the children, because he was one of 14. I used to like to pick up the eggs, and I got into trouble one day because I thought I'd found quite a few, and instead of that, the hen was sitting on them to hatch the chickens. So I got into trouble for bringing them in, because they have to be kept at the right temperature, and by me bringing them in, lowered the temperature, and we had no chickens. I suppose the hen gets off to run about, and I saw these lovely eggs, and funny enough, in those days, they used to mark the eggs with a delible pencil to show that they were eggs to be hatched. I didn't know that. And I thought, well, funny eggs. Fancy these being laid like this. And I said to Mother, where did these marks come from? She said, never mind where the marks come from. It's where the eggs come from. And it was in a nest, all, you know, ready for the hen to sit on. Mm. And to keep them warm, you see. And that was one thing. And I can remember being tipped out of a pram. I had I can remember being in, I don't know how old I was, but I can vaguely remember sitting up in the pram in the corner of my mother's kitchen, and my sister, that's, well, she is still living, actually, but the other one has died, I can remember him tipping me out of the pram, going down School Lane. I can remember that. We couldn't afford to go, I mean, to go to the seaside in those days were a treat for us, you know, a Sunday school outing or something like that.
Now, when we were together at that pub the other night,
yeah,
you were lapsing into broad North Devon.
Yes, like, where be going to? Yeah, where be right. Going?
As big leaves
as see. As I've been there and done that and bought the T-shirt.
Yes, yeah, to see.
As be pleased to see.
Where be going? That means where are you going?
Well, I'm going vor now. So that means that I'm going somewhere. I'm going to get vor. Gwen vor. F-O-R-E. You great gawk. That means to say, well, you silly fool. And then say you're going to meet somebody. They'll say, well, what time shall he be there? Well, come over here then. Look, see where you're going. Or look where you're going. That's someone else. And what else? I can't think of it now. Well, I can remember coming up through a street with a friend of mine. And in those days, with the door ringing, the doorbell, and running away. So we run the doorbell, didn't run away. Well, next thing I knew, I had a pair of gloves. Bang.
Yes,
but I dare go and tell your mother because you get another one for doing it.
Yes.
Well, I had a slap in the ear then.